From high atop Feibusch Media World Headquarters in Rochester, New York, it is the Top of the Tower podcast. I'm your host, Scott Feibusch. Welcome back. I know we've been doing a lot of traveling this summer. We'll be talking more about that on this and some upcoming editions of the podcast. A reminder before we begin, the podcast is brought to you by Shively Labs. Shively Labs is a division of Howell Laboratories. Shively is a proud employee-owned company with over 50 years of expert antenna and filter design and manufacturing. We thank them for their support of Top of the Tower. A couple of headline items as we get started. Of course, first of all, we are keeping a very close eye as we record this on Wednesday afternoon on what's happening to our south down along the coastal areas of Virginia, the Carolinas, down into Georgia with the hurricane that is making its way ever too rapidly across the Atlantic and expected to make landfall in those areas tomorrow. So a couple of things to take notice of here. First of all, a reminder for broadcasters who are in the area or who have perhaps evacuated from the area. The Broadcasters Foundation of America is making assistance available to broadcasters who need it. It is a wonderful, wonderful organization that does great things for broadcasters in need, including working broadcasters in immediate need in circumstances like these. So if you are in a position where you need help and you're a broadcaster from those areas, reach out to the Broadcasters Foundation. They are there to help. That's what they're there to do. We'll be telling you more about them as well in upcoming editions of the podcast. We are keeping a close eye, of course, on our friends down in that area. As you know, I do some work with the good folks at Wheatstone, and they're right in New Bern, North Carolina, keeping a very close eye on that. They've closed things up for the remainder of the week down there, maintaining emergency phone support from elsewhere, but they've sent their factory workers home, as well they should, and we're hoping that everything goes okay for them. And, of course, for all of our radio friends down in the area who have some difficult decisions to make because, of course, you want to continue to provide information, but in some cases, these areas are under evacuation orders. Nobody is supposed to be in Craven County, North Carolina, for instance, where New Bern is located. Nobody is supposed to be out on the Outer Banks right now. And at least in theory, that includes broadcasters. There shouldn't be anybody there at this point for them to be broadcasting to as these storms hit. On the other hand, of course, they want to be ready to bring people information, you know, if they're tuning in from afar, if they are going to be coming back at some point, and they're going to need information, broadcasters need to be there for that, too. We know that several of the broadcast companies down in the area are staging emergency teams in order to make sure that they have resources available, that there are, you know, portable transmitter sites on wheels, for instance, that will be available to be moved into these areas after the worst of the storm has passed to get signals back on the air. We're hearing informally from some broadcasters that they are expecting some pretty significant damage to transmitter sites that may not be as hardened as they could be. Of course, it's a reminder for stations themselves to make sure that listeners know that they should really have crank-up radios available or at least battery radios available and know which frequencies to tune to that they can depend on to be bringing them information. As you've heard in previous episodes of the podcast from emergency planners like our friend Howard Price, this is why radio is here, to provide this kind of information for people at a time when cable TV will be knocked out, when satellite TV will be knocked out, when the internet will be knocked out. So these are important times for radio, and we will be keeping you posted as we find out more about what happens, what direction the storm takes, and, of course, what effect it has on broadcasters all up and down the coast. It's of interest to us, too, because we're headed down that way, as are so many radio people, a little further south in Orlando at the end of the month for the radio show that the NAB and the RAB will be putting on in Orlando the last week of September. We will be bringing you a whole bunch of podcast segments from the show floor, of course, talking with people around the business, bringing you the latest in what's happening in the sessions, what people are talking about, and, of course, what products are on the show floor as well. We'll be hearing also in upcoming episodes of the podcast about what's going on right now across the ocean in Amsterdam, where IBC, the International Broadcasting Convention, is underway, and we'll be talking to some of the people presenting some very interesting new products over there. So a lot to talk about coming up. Where have we been all this time? Well, one of the places where we were, obviously, as you know, if you've been reading Northeast Radio Watch, has been visiting our friends over in Boston, where there has been all kinds of transition going on.
The preceding broadcast has been a commercial.
Wait, no, that was just
Informed. Yeah. Got it. We got it. Yep. That's you.
We got it. That's Medford.
That's what it sounded like inside the studios of WBZ at that very moment a few Saturday nights ago on August 25th at 8 p.m. as control of WBZ was transferred over for the final time from 1170 Soldiers Field Road, the address that the station called home when I was working there in the 1990s, that it's called home since the 1940s. And as it made its move over to its new facility as part of the iHeart cluster, a few miles to the north and kind of a world away, really, up in Medford, Massachusetts. It's the first time WBZ's studios have been outside the Boston city limits ever since they made their historic big move from Springfield to Boston in the 1920s. It's the first time, obviously, they've been out of 1170 Soldiers Field Road in 70 years. The studios, of course, that they moved out of were not the original 1948 vintage studios. Those changed around several times, most recently in 1996 when they were moved all the way across the building. They had been over on the what would be the right side of the building as you're facing it from the street, facing out into the parking lot. I think that's where they were going all the way back to 48, albeit with a whole bunch of renovations over the years. And then in 1996, they were moved in with the TV side of things and occupied a few rooms off to the side of the TV newsroom over on the other side of the building. And that's where they were for 22 years up until this whole shakeup in Boston transferred ownership of CBS Radio over to Entercom. And then since they couldn't keep WBZ AM, sent the AM station over to iHeart. We had a chance not only to be there at the very end of the 1170 Soldiers Field Road area, and to watch Mike Macklin do the very last live newscast from there, and our friend Garo Hagopian do the very last recorded newscast, and then to watch as the control room was turned off and the engineers moved in and dismantled everything, took the vital news boss and other servers in a truck right up to Medford so they could be reinstalled to get things going again first thing Sunday morning. We had the chance a few days later to go up and visit the new iHeart, and the new iHeart is a really interesting place. This is a neat location. They are up on the floor of an office building, just like most radio clusters are these days. It was space that iHeart had already moved into a few years ago for their existing cluster of stations for KISS 108 and Jammin' 94.5 and 101.7 The Bull. And then as they acquired more stations out of the CBS Entercom deal, they then picked up WZLX, which moved from the other CBS radio facility that had been over in the old Channel 38 building. That moved in there. They picked up what had been Entercom's WKAF 97.7, which does classic R&B, and, of course, WBZ and WRKO. WRKO also came out of Entercom, and WBZ out of CBS, longtime rivals, now sharing a talk studio. That was kind of weird to look at. But they were able, fortunately, to get the other half of the floor of this office building that they were already on. And what they've created is very second decade of the 21st century. Everything is white except for the things that are extremely red. There's a really strong design ethos to it, which is a big difference from the way things were, let's say, in the Westinghouse era at WBZ, where the prevailing ethos seemed to be pretty much, well, the carpet hasn't completely been torn up yet. Let's keep using it a few more years, and the paint hasn't chipped off the wall yet, so let's leave that where it is. This is very interior designed. That was kind of a new thing to get used to. Everything, of course, is very digital. It's a far cry from the days when I had tape carts that I would have to carry down the hallway to the anchor who was about to read the newscast that I had just written for him or for her and had to go around a couple of blind corners. Now, of course, everything just operates digitally. All the audio lives right within their news boss system. within each individual workstation. These workstations are all very open. A lot of the producers and editors actually just sit on stools at a very high counter where they're looking over towards the news anchor. And everybody has a little tablet in front of them that is set up with Wheatstone's screen builder software so that it's all customized and they can bring up and record any source, whether it's a phone line coming in, whether it's something off of their computer, whether it's something off of an incoming network feed, what have you. It's all immediately available to them. It can all be routed instantly anywhere, including into the studio to go live on the air. It's neat stuff. I had an opportunity to spend a couple of minutes talking to Dylan Sprague, who is the VP for programming for the market now, about the new studios and about what it means to them to be there.
You're doing some neat stuff here. You have what had been longtime competitors back in my day, WBZ doing news, yeah, and then WRKO doing talk here. You're actually sharing a talk studio.
Yeah, nobody
down
can
here.
Believe that. That's an interesting one. So yeah. It flips. It's like the Meadowlands, right?
Yeah.
When the Giants play, you know it's the Giants Stadium, and when the Jets play, it's there. So, but in all seriousness, the way the talk schedule worked out, it made sense to build one big showcase studio, you know, where not only are the hosts kind of, you know, on show, but if they have guests, there's plenty of room for, you know, entertaining or press or whatever. Because we heard at BZ that was, you know, when Dan would have somebody on, they were trying to fit people into a little hallway. And
yeah, the studios were never designed for that.
It was pretty tough. So, yeah. And I've showed you around here, you know, kind of everything we built here is about video and social and digital. So we thought it would be best to build one big, great studio that rotates between the two stations, and it's worked out.
So that was Dylan Sprague from iHeart in Boston. You can see more of that interview coming up soon on the Wheatstone website. We're going to have some videos up there once things get back to normal in North Carolina and they can finish putting those together. And we can actually show you in video that and a number of the other new Boston studios that we saw. We were over at Beasley, which picked up the Sports Hub, 98.5 WBZ FM. That came over from CBS Radio to Beasley, and they built a beautiful new studio at their facility in Dorchester. For that, we'll show you that. We were over at WBUR seeing the new studio that they built not that long ago for their syndicated show Here and Now. We got over to WGBH to see their studio. So lots of stuff coming up very soon on all the platforms of FiveBush.com and all of our partner sites, including RadioInsight.com, where next week you can see more of our Boston visits as well on the brand new technology section of RadioInsight.com. So a quick word here before we move on to more of the podcast about some of the things that we're doing here and some of what has us very excited right now. The 2019 Tower Site Calendar. This will be the 18th consecutive year that we have put out a calendar featuring fantastic broadcast sites from all over the world. This year's calendar, and I'm just finishing putting the pictures together, includes some pictures from the English Midlands. We go all the way out to the West Coast. We've got some New England in there. I know there's been requests for more New England. There are New England pictures in there. We are improving the print quality. The printer we use has a brand new printer. Our printer has a new printer. How about that? And so the print quality is going to be better than ever this year. Those pictures are really going to pop off the page. And we need your support. If we're going to continue doing this calendar year after year, there's a lot of effort that goes into it, a lot of expense in 2018 to put out a physical printed product and to distribute it to you with ever-rising distribution and printing costs. And so if this is something that you value, I hope that you will place your order right now while we still have discounted pre-issue prices for the 2019 Tower Site Calendar. You can find it at the FiveBush.com store right off the front page at FiveBush.com. Place your order for the calendar. If you want to do bulk orders, they make a great gift. If you are, let's say, an engineering manager and you want to give presents to all your engineers for the holidays, this is a great gift for them. Reach out to Lisa, and she will be delighted to quote you rates for bulk ordering of the calendar. And we'll have it in person, too. If you're going to be in Orlando, we will have some of the earliest print copies of the 2019 calendar available for you to pick up and even get signed in person there. But your support is really essential to tell us whether this is still something that's important and whether this is something you want to see continue into 2020 and beyond. Of course, FiveBush.com also features Tower Site of the Week. Every Friday, we bring you an interesting set of pictures and stories about broadcast facilities all over the country. We're getting started now to recap a lot of our summer travels. The feature that's coming up this Friday is Zanesville, Ohio. We will take you inside WHIZ Radio and TV, one of the last of the locally owned independent radio TV combos anywhere out there. It's a really neat facility. We had a great visit. We're delighted to be able to share that with you. That'll be on FiveBush.com this Friday. And, of course, every Friday, check back for Tower Side of the Week. And, of course, every Monday, we have Northeast Radio Watch, which is celebrating, amazingly enough, our 24th anniversary, 24 years. We have brought you basically every week the news of what's happening in and around the broadcasting industry in the northeastern U.S. and in eastern Canada. We're delighted to be able to bring that to you. It depends on you as a subscriber. That is the one part of the site that is subscriber-based, but the good news is it doesn't have to cost you that much. If you are a broadcast industry professional, you can pay $75 a year. It's a little over a dollar a week. You get a free calendar as part of that. For an individual, $35 a year. That's less than a dollar a week. And if you are a student, if you are unemployed, if you're retired, or if you are underemployed, and yes, we know you exist out there in the broadcasting world, that subscription is just $15 a year, literally just pennies a week. And that still gets you access to Northeast Radio Watch. And there is so much more in there than we have space to give you or time to give you anywhere else. Anything that's happening in radio and TV in the Northeast, we chronicle, whether it's virtual channels for television and the whole repack that's going on. And DTV, we bring you all the headlines about that, what stations are being bought and sold, people moving around, job openings, call letter changes. You can find out which LPFM just changed call signs for a 23rd time. Yes, that story will be in Monday's Northeast Radio Watch. And, of course, obituaries, too. There's the sad news that we just received today out of Pittsburgh. Longtime KDKA radio talk host Mike Pintek lost his fight with pancreatic cancer. He was, I believe, just 65 years old. We will have a full obituary for him coming up in Monday's issue of Northeast Radio Watch. But, again, we depend on you to show your support for that, if possible, with a subscription. It's really easy to do. It's all over at FiveBush.com, and that comes to you just about every single Monday. I think we took one Monday off for the Labor Day holiday. But other than that, we are here pretty much every Monday for you with that column. It's a lot of work. I hope you appreciate it. I certainly put a lot of effort into it. And then, of course, the podcast now, Top of the Tower, every Wednesday. And now that we are back into the fall schedule, we will be here for you pretty much every Wednesday, and we have a lot of good material coming for you in the weeks and months to come. One of the things we love to do whenever we have a chance to catch people who are coming through town and sit down, or in this case, actually stand in a hallway outside a restaurant with them and have a conversation with them, we love to do that. And in this case, it was our good friend Mike Kerr, who's known as Mike McCabe.
Calvin Harris and Sam Smith teaming up for Promises. 98PXY is the number one hit music station. It's Mike McCabe done for today, and done in general. If you want to connect, I'm at McCabe Radio on everything. You can find me there. Orphan Angel, you're going to be back in his normal slot next week. And Devin's is next on 98PXY. Party
girls, don't get. So that was Mike's very last break after several years as a weekender and part-timer at WPXY up here in Rochester. But Mike's done a lot more besides that, worked at a lot more upstate markets, and is now on his way into New Hampshire. And we caught up with him after a little bit of a farewell lunch just before he headed out for his new gig to talk to him about what it's like to be somebody in his young 20s getting started on a career in radio.
You have been one of these itinerant radio guys, Elmira, Ithaca, Rochester, Buffalo. Tell me about what you've been doing the last few years.
The really old people way back will know me as Brody. Ooh. from Elmira, that terrible name. But yeah, no, so, I mean, I started my career in Elmira doing part-time stuff for Wink 106 when it was backyard. Eventually moved up to nights and, you know, got to do some programming stuff there. Took years off while I was in college and got into Entercom Buffalo, did KISS weekend stuff there, and got into PXY. I was doing both of those stations while living in Elmira, weekends and Phil, for like a year and a half. It was a blast, it was. And then in January this past in 2018, took on some stations in Ithaca. Yeah. So I was programming up until this point Z95.5, 96.7 The Vine, and our new alternative station, which just launched the day before I'm talking to you.
This is big, exciting news. And we'll get to the promo you did there first. I want to mention, you mentioned, we just finished having lunch, you mentioned that you were carrying an air mattress around with you at one point.
More than one point. It's still in my car. No, you keep, when you had the schedule that I had where I was going from Elmira to Rochester, and I was doing part-time work in Ithaca too, actually, for that year and a half, you got to keep the air mattress with you because you never know when your friend's going to have a wedding, and you got to take a nap at the station, you know?
And the Elmira College radio station where you were involved in helping to keep that up and running and move into new studios too.
Yeah, so I was at Elmira College as a student through just this past January, actually. So I was doing all that while in school, and we launched our 107.7 there. We got a new studio, painted it, made it look all nice, and it's going well. The students there are keeping it up, nice current music format to fit the college, and it sounds pretty good. It's a good little station.
So your last bit of work in Ithaca was over with Saga, and they took what had been a translator for their AM news talk station, WHCU, and have relaunched it just a couple of days ago as Alt-95.9, and you had a neat stunt in the middle there.
Yeah, so this was really cool. If you don't know Ithaca, it's just this unique little city in upstate New York. The home of Cornell, Ithaca College is there. And the arts are big, so we always get musicians there. And one of the biggest artists to come out was ex-ambassadors. So our GM, Chet Osachi, and I worked on this idea to put on XA Radio, which was a fun stunt we did over Labor Day weekend where we played nothing but ex-ambassadors. It was fun, but, you know, it was a little repetitive. They have maybe 20 songs. So we did that. We did it all produced. We did a big
into the jungle. All XA, all day. This is XA Radio.
It was a nice way to say we are Ithaca, and a good way to bring in an alternative format too, since they're a pretty core artist on there.
Indeed, and then now it has flipped to Alt, and now you have done your last shifts there and here in Rochester. Talk about where you're headed now.
Yeah, this will be fun. So I'm going to the seacoast, and it's awesome. There's a beach there, and that's all I can ask. In Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I'll be programming Z107 over there, taking over for Jad, who went to iHeart in Tulsa. So it'll be fun. I can't wait.
And we've all of a sudden, a bunch of these guys who've worked in Elmira and Ithaca are going places. You worked with Chase Daniels.
Yep. So, I mean, Z, specifically Z95.5 in Ithaca, which was the CHRI programmed, has such a crazy roster of people who've worked there for being in such a small market. It's a great growing point, and Saga helped with that a lot, the people there. I mean, we have, I think, 5 people who have worked at Z have gone on to major markets now.
And you left right about the same time as Chase, right?
Chase and I left on the same day, completely unintentional. But our last day was Tuesday. Chase went down to his job in Poughkeepsie. I'm going down to mine in New Hampshire coming up next week. It's a crazy time.
And in addition to being on the air on the seacoast, you're going to be doing some part-time in Boston.
Yeah, so Dylan tells me they're going to let me talk on KISS 108, which will be really fun. That'll be really cool, a very humbling thing to be on just such a massive station. When you think CHR, KISS 108 is one of the first stations that comes to mind. It's just huge and a very well-respected place.
That's neat. So let's talk about kind of where radio is now and where you see it, because you are 20 what?
22, okay. I think, if I check my watch. Yeah, no, programming at 22 has been fun. It's a great time. And it's unique because I think a lot of the programmers that I've worked with before, you know, during my times here have grown in a programming way in a much different world than I have, in that I grew up with the internet. So I had the opportunity to stream stations. That's where I learned, like, almost everything. You know, I listened to Hot in D.C., where I can stream KISS 108 online. The way that I learned radio was just by listening to all those stations. And I was lucky because I wasn't just stuck with what I was around. So listening to those stations, seeing what they're doing, thinking, why are they doing that, trying to mimic it in my own way, is what I've kind of learned. Talking about like programming now, though, I think if you don't want to talk about this, but yeah. The big thing right now, I think, for radio is regaining our sense of being local, and every company is going through that. Every company is going through it. You're seeing companies realize that this is the one big thing we have is personalities, knowing the community. we can get music anywhere we want, but community information, things like that, having an actual friend on the radio is not something you get anywhere.
And there are people in your generation who still value that and will still reach out for it, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I see it all the time. You know, people come up to me, friends of mine who I assume are just big streamers, and they're like, I heard this on the radio, and it's something about something local. And it's always really nice to hear that. So people are still listening out there. You know, there is the choice of streaming in the car, or there's the choice of listening to local radio and hearing that person who you know them from the community.
Let's talk about versatility a little bit, because you've had to do a bunch of different formats in the last few years. You've done programming, you've done on-air work, you've done promotions, you've helped to manage a college station, and you know a little bit, actually more than a little bit about engineering, too, on top of that. What's the value that having all of that kind of together, you think, brings to being able to make a career now?
Living in a world of consolidation at times, I mean, it helps to be well-versed in everything. I've always just been a radio nerd. I like all aspects of it. But from a career standpoint, being able to understand why the board does things, why the audio coming out of the radio sounds like that, how it gets there, it's integral to being well-rounded in the business. And that way, if you're in a situation, especially in a small market like where I've been for most of my career, you know everything that's going on around you. You can put yourself in the promotions director's job. You know what they're feeling. You can put yourself in the engineer's feet, in their shoes, rather, and know that it's kind of a crazy place. You're not just there to fix light bulbs, you know.
If something happens to the transmitter at 1:30 on a Saturday afternoon.
That's the big thing, is I find myself at the transmitter site in the middle of the night, and I'm like, what? How did I get here? But so having
Where's that air mattress?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if some of the sites I've been at are really good for sleeping, but it's handy to have. And having that understanding makes working with people even better, because you know what their job's like in a way.
Where do you see yourself? I mean, I wonder sometimes, you know, as I look ahead to maybe 20 years that I've got left in the business, about where things are going to be. At 22, you could be doing this 30, 40 some years from now. Is there going to be a radio business then?
There's going to be a radio business. There's no doubt. What form it's going to be in, I don't know. There are going to be some drastic changes, I think, coming down the road for the industry that are going to be pretty positive. I think it's time for radio to really integrate digital. I don't know what way. And I don't necessarily mean that from like a social media or website standpoint, but how are we integrating digital into our programming? There are so many cool things out there, like with Alexa skills, that I can communicate with the studio through that. So those things, those are the things that are going to kind of force a reinvention of radio, not just the traditional over-the-air sense of it.
Because you see that argument. People say, well, why is somebody on my radio telling me to go away from my radio and go to their social media site, you know, and especially maybe on a platform they don't even control, when they should be promoting what they're doing there? Where do you fall in that argument?
It's in the middle. I mean, right now that's the platform we have. There are great platforms that companies own that foster that communication between the radio station and the listener itself. But there are stations who can't afford that. You know, so the social media is that way. And once, you know, there is a way to integrate that into these individual companies, I think that'll be the one thing we've got to find, you know, is how do we harness it all under one roof? Not only so, I mean, we can control it, but so we can understand how it works and make it better for the listener's experience. Because right now, like you said, going between those two platforms is kind of tough. There's a little bit of a barrier. But, you know, the core listeners do mop over it.
And you're at the point now where you could be talking not only to children, but maybe even grandchildren of people who started listening to Kiss 108 when it was doing disco in the 70s.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I think maybe we'll flip Kiss 108 to disco, and I don't think I have the authorization to say that or start the rumor, but it might be true.
HD2, there's always the HD2.
Yeah, HD2s are fun.
Wait, Kiss's HD2 is WBZ. You can't touch that.
That's right. Although you can do HD on the AM, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
There we go.
And they do have it there.
Yeah, so we'll go digital there.
So you're going to be working just down the hall from my old friends from WBZ when you're in Boston. That's a neat situation there, and I'll be talking more about that on the podcast, about my visit there and my chat with your new boss, Dylan. But that's a neat facility there. What did you think of it when you saw it?
That facility is crazy beautiful. I think that facility shows what new facilities across the U.S. will look like. It kind of, I think it had a little bit more of a European feel where you're creating a radio space that's ready for all kinds of media. It's ready for that transition to not just the analog over-the-air signal, but ready for anything, you know, TV, video. And it's just media space. It feels like a media space. It's not like the old studios where you're in a basement locked down, you know, with no windows. It feels like a media space. And I think that's a big transition, especially for large radio stations, that has to come. You see, like, BBC Radio 1 has these gorgeous facilities, and the stations are treated like massive media. And that's what this facility is doing.
I was there. I can testify to that. It's pretty awesome. Who do you look to? Who are you? So BBC Radio 1, obviously, is an example. Who are the best in class that you look up to and learn from right now?
It's a good question. There's a lot. It never stays the same. I mean, from an on-air standpoint, J.J. Kincaid's always been the go-to person from Z100, and now he's doing mornings in Denver. Seacrest is...
With roots in Boston, by the way.
Yeah, and Seacrest is great. Seacrest is just... He's got a crazy story. Brady in New York does an amazing show on Z100. Colt in KDWB for on-air. For programming, there's a lot. I mean, people are doing revolutionary stuff all over, be it at, you know, KISS 108 or Danger here in Rochester does an amazing station for this market, best-sounding station out there.
That's another one where, I mean, that was a station I grew up listening to as a kid, and they've had to keep reinventing themselves over the years.
Actually, it's funny because I was talking to Danger, who's the program director at PXY, and I said, the thing I'm going to miss about here is that in this building at Entercom Rochester, they're always trying new things. I always turn on PXY, or I'll turn on the Buzz here, which is the classic hit station, and Bob, the VP of programming, he's always trying different things. You hear new stuff, and that's something I think that we could all do. And they're doing that, you know, in Boston, in Portsmouth. People are doing it all over. So it's good to hear that it's still happening.
I am looking forward to seeing what you do on the seacoast and beyond. Where do you want to be eventually? What's your dream gig?
I would like to be at Modern at Beats in New Haven, Connecticut. My entire life. That's about it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Great
not,
pizza.
Not Sally's. You're a Modern guy.
No, Modern's the way to go. It's an unpopular opinion sometimes, but that's it.
I've tried two of the three there, and I actually agree with you about Modern. That was really good.
Modern's good. There's a secret in Brantford, Connecticut. Marco Upbeats. I think he's just pizza. That's one of the other secrets. Just saying.
This has suddenly turned into a pizza podcast. How interesting.
That's one of my goals. Actually, my show in the Seacoast is only going to be about pizza, so that'll be something fun to hear.
I will tune into that. All right, Mike, good luck to you.
Woo, thank you.
And so we wish Mike the very, very best as he heads out and gets started on his new career in New Hampshire and in Boston as well with iHeart. We will be catching up with him again soon. We want to catch up with you, too. If you've got something going on that you'd like to tell us about on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email. It's scott@fibush.com. Or, of course, reach out to me on social media. You probably already know where to find me, because your voices are probably more interesting than hearing from me for 45 minutes at a stretch. And let me know what you want to hear about on the podcast, too. We'd love to cover it for you. We will be back next Wednesday with much more. We will have updates as needed on what's happening as we learn of what happens to broadcasters in the area that's on the verge of getting hit by Hurricane Florence. We wish them all the very best. And again, a reminder that there are lots of resources out there for broadcasters who need help. The Broadcasters Foundation of America there to provide individual assistance to broadcasters who may be uprooted by the storm. And, of course, all the manufacturers are out there as well with assistance. You know, there are several transmitter and antenna companies and processor companies who are standing by with equipment and ready to provide assistance as needed as stations try to get themselves back on their feet after this all happens. Of course, a reminder that the Top of the Tower podcast is brought to you this week by Shively Labs. Shively Labs is a division of Howell Laboratories. Shively is a proud employee-owned company with over 50 years of expert antenna and filter design and manufacturing. Thanks to Shively for their support
You can be recognized as a supporter of this podcast, too. Reach out to Lisa at lisa@fibush.com. If you are in the industry and want to get the word out about what you're doing, there are lots of great opportunities here on the podcast. Now on the new Radio Insight tech section that's launching right around the radio show. Elsewhere on fibush.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday. It's the Top of the Tower podcast. I'm Scott Fibush.